You can all scale on Guste, Navascola, Glebor, and Gangri, Shlea, Nebos, Viaria, non garantis Kishla Mangia.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For this is the time and this is the day. Hallelujah. Was spoken by the prophets of old. The day of the time would come when things would come to an end, to a climax. Yes, and these days are short. And men look ahead and say, yes, many days, many days. Hallelujah. We look to the future and say, many days. Oh, yes, it's still a long time off. But for you today, the time is short. Hallelujah. It is time is short for the church to rise up and do my bidding and walk in my way. For the time is short. Hallelujah. Not just short for the world, but short for the church. Hallelujah. For many of my people are not ready. For many of my people talk and say things, yes, and they are good things, yes, but doing my will is my thing, says the Lord. Walking in my path and in my way, yes, for my blessing will come in full. You will not have to ask for it. You won't have to look for it. You won't have to desire it. Walk in my way, follow the path that I have chosen, and watch what I will do for you. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
God. Praise Hallelujah.
No, you may be seated.
Hallelujah. 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 Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, this morning we're going to go back into our teaching. We're still teaching on the subject. We say Abraham, but as far as we are, he is still Abram. God hasn't changed that yet. We had finished up to Genesis 16. We had finished. And we're talking about is a covenant of blessing and really is understanding this covenant that we have here. And this is what God wants to bring some things to light as we look at this. One of the things God has really emphasized to me about this teaching over time, and he keeps reminding me this. He said, you look at Abraham. He said, I was building a man. In other words, God was building a man with a purpose of where he wanted to get him to. God didn't start teaching him about the end. God started him over time, putting certain knowledge and certain principles in him till he could arrive at a certain point. And you have to understand God will operate the same way with you. You can't jump over steps. You can't do... Many people, they want to go and jump right up to something up here where they haven't even gotten through. You know, they don't have a good foundation in themselves and they want to arrive at some big place. You know, people really haven't come into the knowledge and understanding of certain areas of teaching, of the Word. They don't take time to spend time in it. You need to understand this. You can get filled with knowledge about things and not really be very good at much of anything.
That's right.
You need to get down to where it's one thing as the Lord dealt with me in steps and taught me things. In other words, to put a foundation in me. And I'm just going to say this very bluntly. Most Christians don't have a good foundation. You know, they want all the blessing, but they don't have the foundation in them to take a hold of it.
Amen.
Is the areas, like we the Spirit-filled people, we believe in healing and that stuff. But most Spirit-filled people... always have trouble with healing. You have trouble with it all the time. Why? They don't have a foundation in them. They don't stop and take time. If you ever understood the amount of hours that I spent listening to teaching, I would say this on that subject alone. I don't think anybody's close to the ballpark at me. Why? That was a thing. God took me to that. But that was important to me. Is number get that in yourself. I don't care what you believe about it. If you can't make it work, who cares?
Right.
Amen.
Don't matter what you believe about it. Don't mean a thing.
Yep.
You got to be able to make it work.
Amen.
So I want to make it work.
Amen.
There's things that are really important. It's one of the things as God really emphasized me in the beginning is how important healing is to Him. Jesus took your infirmities, bore your sickness. He did all that. It's important to Him that you be well. Do you take it as serious as he did to take a beating that he did? Or is that just, well, he did that for me, ain't that nice? You know, he did that for me and I don't take advantage of it at all.
Amen.
You see, you got to sit down and think, what is the importance of what he did? Redeemed us from the curse of the law. If anybody's not supposed to be living on the curse, it's us.
Amen.
The seriousness of these things. And where they lie in is a foundational teaching. There's a lot of things we can learn, foundational things about faith concerning dealing with this man Abraham. Now we finished up at the end of the Genesis 16. In verse 16 said this, Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Now let's look at this thing here as we go over, because we start in 17. There's a big jump in years. So it starts off in chapter 17, verse 1. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Now this is 13 years. Now we have from 16 to 17 is 13 years. God's going to speak to Abraham about some things to set a course here in this. And what we find out is what he's going to set this course in on Abraham, on this covenant. Abraham is now 99 years old. He was 75 when he came into the land. God is only going to give him some information right now that has to do with this. He's going to only, after he's been in the land now for 24 years. How long have you been in the land? Now there's many people cross the Jordan, but that's all they ever did. They're still camped on the bank of Jordan. They ain't ever taken much land. I'm sorry. That's where most Christians are. Most Christians crossed over and they camped and, oh, isn't it wonderful being here? But they ain't eating the fruit of the land. See, the land of Canaan was not heaven. The land of Canaan, there was battles in. When you get to heaven, there ain't no battles. It represented the spirit-filled life. They crossed over that land, and this is the place that you have battles. This is the place where there's giants in the land. Did you ever notice there's giants in the land running over Christians all the time?
Amen.
And you know what? Christians seem to not know a thing about standing against the giants. Hallelujah. The Giants, it wasn't writing there about, you know, the New York Giants. That wasn't what it's about. This wasn't entertainment. Hallelujah. This wasn't watching a sports game. No, this wasn't about that. There's giants in the land. There's things in the land. The land has wonderful. When they were on the land, they said, man, the fruit of the land was far out wonderful. But we can't go there. Well, you're going to find this. Without understanding and comprehending the life of faith, you cannot go there. You can't go there. See, God tried to build the children of Israel out of Egypt. They got there. And what those people couldn't get in. Why? They were just full of unbelief. They got over and they lived in Egypt. They had a covenant with God, but they never lived by their covenant. They lived like Egyptians. And I just want to say this to you. Most Christians live like Americans. Now I know we think America, living like an American is being on the top shelf. It's not to God.
Amen.
That's right.
It's not to God. The Lord said concerning Kenneth Hagin in his vision 1950, the only thing that will save America is a turning to God and repenting. That's the only. He didn't say, you get the right government, it'll be okay, we'll make this work. This is what most Americans think. Boy, we need to pray till we get the right government. They're not doing what God said. We pray that this nation needs to turn and repent. The Lord told me that the church needs to return and repent. What about? It has to do with doing things of His will. There's things that, you know, we have in our Christian culture that aren't what God wants. We have our ideas about things. And so He wants to change it. It takes time to get over and find out. There's so much around us that we're in contact with. There's so much around us is going on. And as we look at this, we're going to turn around. Abraham's in the land. He was 90 years old. God appeared to him. 13 years have passed. I'm going to read down through this there. In chapter 2, he says, I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face. God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, in their generation, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession," he said, "and I will be their God." So we need to understand this from the standpoint of we would take Abraham and his physical descendants. God gave the land there, he had said, for an everlasting possession. So whatever man says or ideas about who belongs where and what, God established who he says the lands belong to. He is not interested in what men think about it. You may say whatever you want or whatever you like. God has already declared under covenant who the land belongs to. We have a lot of opinions in the church about how things ought to be. The land belongs to Israel. There's a part over there, you know, we called where the Philistines are living, where they've had to fight and take them out. That belongs to Israel. It don't belong to them. God said, "Whose is it? Everlasting covenant." Mm-hmm. That's right. See, we don't even take God's opinion on stuff. See, God has established things and said things, and we have ideas. And until we get thinking in our mind like God thinks, things ain't ever going to work out. They're not going to work, because a lot of our ideas, and even in the ways that people pray and do things, are man's opinions and man's ideas. And what's bad about it? Well, I'm going to go. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But this is God said. He said, "I'll be their God." Well, he went on and said, and God said to Abram, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you through all their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generation. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the circumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh for his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." So we see this in the circumcision. Circumcision is a sign of the covenant. It is not the covenant, it's a sign of. We have a sign in our covenant. It's a circumcision of the heart. It's a new birth. Let me say this, just going into this, so you understand about this. Righteousness is not given because you're born again. Righteousness is always by faith. When I became faith, the sign of my righteousness was the new birth. I got new birth because I received the Word of God by faith. God accounted me righteousness by my faith and then caused me to be born again. Righteousness is by faith. Faith came first. New birth didn't come first. It did in the church's ideas and thinking, but that's not the way it works. When a person responds to God by faith, you are righteous. When I respond to God by faith for healing, then healing comes. Healing don't come, then I get righteous. I have righteousness to be healed because I'm by faith acted righteously toward it. Therefore, healing can manifest in me. Healing is the manifestation of my righteous belief. The church is always turning everything around. Faith is always accounted as righteousness. When I act in faith, I am righteous to receive whatever it is that faith says I can have.
I'm righteous. So always understand this. You want to act in righteousness before going into the things. People want the stuff, but they don't do the righteousness before it. They're not acting in faith, but they want what comes from the accountability, counting of righteousness. It's not the way it works. See, we learn how faith works. It was the easiest thing in the world. By His stripes I was healed. So I declare righteously that I believe what the Word says. If you don't believe what the Word says about something, you are not righteous concerning that. I don't care if you're a Christian. Concerning that specifically, you're not standing in righteousness. Even though may you acted in righteousness to get born again, that don't mean everything within it. Grace is always received through faith. It is never given to you just because you're saved. Read the Scriptures about grace. Grace comes from faith. Not because you're just born again. If you want to, God has grace of all kind of stuff. But you may not enjoy grace in certain areas of your life because you don't walk in faith with it. Because that's the only way to receive it is by faith. Faith in a thing makes you righteous concerning that thing. You're righteous or you're right in the way you're believing. So you always want to operate in the areas of faith. See, people say, well, they make a big deal of faith. You darn right I make a big deal of faith. Nothing in the kingdom works without it.
Amen.
The church is full of unbelief, calling it faith. Full of all kind of ideas instead of Scripture. Go to the Scriptures. Abraham got, and we'll read about that later, Abraham got circumcision, it tells us specifically in the New Testament, because he had faith. It wasn't the opposite. So, we need to walk in lights of these things. Now, in Genesis in 17, verse 15, God's going to bring another revelation to Abraham. It says, and God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, He said, your wife, you shall now call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. And he said, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. My covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you. And at this time next year, then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Well, it goes on, and Abraham took Ishmael and his son and who all were born in his house and all who were bought with his money, every male among them, men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin that very same day as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in his foreskin, and Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised the flesh of his foreskin. That very same day, Abraham was circumcised, and his son Ishmael, and all the men of the house born in the house, bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. So we need to understand the sign of the covenant. Those who were under, it says this, those who are outside who are not circumcised, and it's just the same way. People today who doesn't have the circumcision of faith in Christ is outside the covenant of God. They're cursed. Now this is hard for people to deal with the Jews, because everybody, you know, well, they're circumcised in their flesh. I'm sorry. The covenant now calls for heart circumcision. And if it isn't, they're under a curse. Separated from God. See, these things we don't like to hear, but it's the truth. We need to understand these things. You know, because we have our ideas, the American ideas of things, That don't mean that we're against him. We're in a world, and we need to understand this. Don't matter how much God had a covenant with them before concerning this, if they're not going to be born again, they're not going to be in heaven. It's that simple. It's not knocking them. So what do? We want to preach the gospel to them. That's what we want to do. But they have to come to the knowledge of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the covenant. This is, you know, in Abraham started this covenant, and it is a faith covenant. It is a covenant of faith. This is what Abraham's established in. It's not a covenant of law. Well, look at Scripture. It tells us definitely about this. Because, see, many people look at it as, well, see, God's working in the law through them. Yeah, He's working the law on everybody on the earth. You're cursed if you're under it. And anybody who's not saved is under a curse. So, yeah, it's working. Understand the blessing. You read the book of Revelation. Israel's in trouble. Israel's in trouble as a nation. We need to understand these things. You know, when Jesus returns, He returns because, and He turns to Israel because if He don't, the Antichrist would have all of them dead. Why? Curse. Why does God put 144,000 Jewish preachers in the earth trying to get to these people? Yet it comes to still to the point that it's so bad in the Jerusalem area that God has to come back and put a stop to this thing here. Because the Antichrist is dominating and ruling. And so we need to look at these things. You know, we have our ideas and our ideas how things are. Because, you know, teaching of the past, you know, people said it was going to be this way and we bought it and gobbled it down and, you know, didn't pay attention to a lot of words in the Bible. But God has a plan of salvation. It's one of the things we do. The church, not only when God, you know, the Bible tells God he wants a church with spot or wrinkle. This is what He wants. Spot or wrinkle just doesn't, He's not talking about there just because you're born again. In other words, there's a church following His will. He's looking for somebody who's going to do His will, is going to follow what He wants. You know, and so this is what we want. It isn't everybody's perfect doing everything perfect, but it would be a good idea that we would seek His will and what He wants, what He desires. Hallelujah. The things that He desires. As we look at this, one of the things we want to see is about Abraham. As we go back to the beginning of this thing, as we find out with Abraham, concerning his being a man of faith, understand this. Abraham, we're dealing with the fact, he didn't know that God had never told him that Sarah was going to have a child. He didn't have any faith for that. We need to understand. The Bible says, you know, we know the Scripture in Romans 10:17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we need to understand this. He hadn't heard from God. He had no place of faith. And this is one thing the Lord spoke to me about, because people criticize Abraham. Ministers do, and Christians, they follow suit because of what somebody else said. You know, a lot of you, what you believe is because of what somebody else said. You don't know for sure yourself. I'm just telling you. You know how the average person gets deceived? They get deceived by a person who's high stature, who walks around and says certain things, and they buy it. In the church world, that's exactly it. It works everywhere. Church world and whatever else. People get deceived. They don't check things out. Find out what they do. Somebody said. So therefore they buy it. Lord, talk to me about that. See, we have a lot of that in Christianity today. A lot of people are walking on what somebody said about something rather than they don't have revelation themselves of it. That's become their revelation. So therefore, let me say this. This is what happens. Therefore, the person believes that. Therefore, that becomes their faith. And when they pray and they seek God, this is what they ask God concerning. They do it in the light of the things that they received. It may not be true, but this is the direction that they're praying and they're asking. Many people, even when the truth is preached to them, they never get a hold of it themselves. They just take it because somebody else said it. But they never really walk in the light of faith. Because it's not a revelation to them. See, faith comes, but just because faith comes, don't mean you took it. You need to understand that. We're going to look at these things, what the Scripture says about this, because see, God wants to take us to a higher level.
Amen.
And you can't keep doing the same things that aren't working, and you're at this plane here. So I see people do this all the time. They're in a certain plane and area, they like say with healing, they want healing, they want money or something, but they're at a certain plane and they just stay there. And the reason they stay there, they never grow past it, they never get any more faith in the Word, they never go there. They just keep trying to get what they want with the faith that has never worked. It has never been working for them, but they just keep, like I say, beating a dead horse. Like, we're going to ride this thing in the rodeo, you know? We're going to... No, they never make it to the rodeo. You got to get yourself over. Hold it. What am I at? This stuff is made to work. What don't I know?
Right.
I found out there's a lot I don't know. But what I want, if I'm going to operate in something, I've learned this over the years, then I got to know what God specifically says about it. I have to be able to put my faith in it, and it has to be mine. You can tell, just believing itself is not faith. Faith comes by hearing. Faith is when you believe something, you're saying it with your mouth, you believe it in your heart and you don't doubt, and then you're acting like it's true. If you're not doing that, then therefore you're not operating in faith.
Mm-hmm.
See, many people believe stuff, even say it, but I watch people, their faith dies through their actions because they're never acting like it's true. I'm just saying it, but never acting like it's true. So you'll find people say, man, I want joy. I'll tell you, it'll get you joy when you really believe the Word.
Amen.
And say it and act like it's true. You'll be happy.
Amen. Preach.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. My body's telling me it's not healed, but I'm saying, yeah, I know you are.
Amen.
Get over yourself.
Amen.
How could that woman go and get up and keep giving a testimony? She wouldn't know that just a blab mouth. She's acting like she got something. That's what put her over. Talking is wind blowing with no action.
Amen. Amen. Preach.
Your wind might knock you over. But it won't knock your problem over or what you want. It won't deal with that. It's just wind. She's action. See, I know that she had faith because, see, her faith... See, her perseverance is a sign that she had faith. She's acting. She can persevere. You can't persevere if you don't act.
Amen. Preach.
It's like going an army going into battle. If you're gonna pick up and run, you ain't gonna have any confidence.
Mm-hmm.
If you're decided, we're gonna win this thing.
Amen.
I'm winning. We're staying in this thing. See, everybody wants to be the winner. When I get to be the winner, I'll shout, I'm sorry, I'm the winner.
Amen.
I'm the winner going in. This is the good fight of faith. You never have been in the good fight of faith till you'll only be happy when everything turns out okay. That's not how this thing works. We got Abraham. I want you to see this. So Abraham comes along. God tells him, and we read through this, God tells him Sarah's going to have a child. This is first to him. He tells him, now, he's going to do something. What does he do? God first moves him to faith. He said, now, I'm going to establish. You know, up till this time, God's establishing in this covenant now. Now, he's bringing him to faith. What does he do? I'm going to give you a name, Abraham. You're a father of many nations. You're a father of a multitude. Why did he give him a name? To say that name. So he says that. He wants him to be in faith. Why? God will not bring that covenant to pass if Abraham ain't acting in faith. I don't care what you heard in a prophecy. It ain't coming to pass for you till you start talking it and acting like it's true. It don't matter what's said. This whole thing is people running around, oh, the prophet said, well, is it really yours? What are you saying? See, it's like with me. You know what I say? See, I don't wait till, you know, sickness comes or something like that. See, I'm already the healed of the Lord. That's my name.
Amen.
That ain't something I start to do when something comes against me.
Amen.
That's my name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I'm healed in Jesus' name. That's it.
Amen.
I'm prosperous in Jesus' name. That's it.
Amen.
You see, it doesn't work for people because they're not following the principles of the Word. We wait till something happens and all of a sudden we want to put words of the covenant. No, you got to be the covenant every day. You got to walk there. This is what you have. It's an established covenant. I'm going to establish this covenant with you. Here's your name. You don't answer if they don't call you that. No, I'm blessed in the Lord. You call me anything else, I won't answer you. That ain't me.
Hallelujah.
People run around telling what other people say about him and that stuff. Shut up.
Amen. Preach. Say that again.
Because you're a part of it.
Amen.
You're as bad as they are.
Amen.
What do you call yourself? What do you say about it? What do you answer to? God never calls me worthless and dumb. I'll tell you what, I've acted worthless and dumb. But He's never called me that. Why? Covenant.
Amen.
He talks to me as a covenant person. I'm in His covenant. He established with me.
Amen.
See, you got to come to this place. See, we're always playing behind. Always coming. No, we should be out in front of it all the time.
Amen.
So when something comes, I'm already out in front of it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God established a covenant with me. Just like His name is Abraham now. He's Abraham, a father of a multitude with one kid, and it ain't the kid God's going to do. Now, see, you know, you got to get this. See, you know, we have ideas today, and we have ideas of faith. Most people, most even Spirit-filled people, live under childhood faith. It's childhood faith. They're not ahead of nothing. They just walk along till things go bad and then let's try to fix it now. Let's go get in faith and let's do it. That's not covenant life.
Amen.
This covenant life, this is what we are in every day, every second. When you got born again, you came into God's covenant. You're in it every day. In this covenant, what are you in this covenant? Hallelujah. How do you see yourself? What do you see yourself? Are you calling yourself by the covenant? Or are you waiting until something happens? No, I want something from this covenant. No, this covenant has been established between God and me. When you got saved, it's between God and you. Don't matter how much I say me. That ain't going to benefit you in nothing.
Amen.
That's between you and God. See, it's wonderful listening to preaching church around and shouting stuff, but when you leave, what's your mouth saying? Ain't going to help you a bit. See, I can get you cheering on and stuff, and woo, that's good, yeah. And then you go outside, and it's no, oh my God. Hallelujah. See, it doesn't matter what's happening. I'm telling you how to not lose your joy. You got to keep yourself. You're in a covenant with God. Think about it. You know, we talk about the Holy Spirit in you. Do you treat the Holy Spirit like He's holy?
Amen.
Do you understand the covenant you're in? You're in a covenant where the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. Do you really have a revelation? You can walk around and say, well, yeah, God lives in me. Do you really live a revelation that's true?
Come on.
Change your life.
Amen.
You start talking like that's true. You start living like that's true. God's in me.
Amen.
I've had Christians get forward because of me talking to them. They're saying stuff and I tell them, God lives in me. And they walk around, they say that stuff. But then they look at me like I'm a nut when you get talking about it. Because they don't talk about it. This is just something nice we say when we're saved now. Ooh, I'm saved. Yeah. God saved you and you're dumb as a stick. It's not what we want to be. Let's come out of this babyhood. It's time to step up in the glory of this covenant that God made. Hallelujah. He will build you just like He built Abraham. It doesn't surprise me that Abraham came to the place he would sacrifice his son. It would surprise me today that most Christians would sacrifice a darn thing.
Come on.
Because We're just full. Lord told me, just full of the world. He said, most of the prayers that Christians are praying, he said, is their ideas about things, and they're asking me and they're praying. He said, oh, they use the word, but he said, it's about their ideas and their plans and their things. He said this to me this morning. He said, I wish they'd just spend more time praying in tongues so my perfect will can get done.
Amen.
That's what he said. Because he said, there's too much of their ideas and their thoughts about things, even for themselves. They can't get the fullness of His blessing. He loves to bless. He loves it. Amen. That's His purpose. He's a blesser. He's going to start a covenant with Abraham, and the first thing he says, hey, go out in this land, I'm going to bless you, dude. And I'm one on top of it. You're going to bless others. Wow, let's go do this.
Amen.
And the church today is struggling to be blessed. Oh, you're praying. Oh, God, help me and bless me. I'm sorry.
Amen.
Why? People don't know Him.
Amen. Preach.
They really don't know Him.
Preach.
They don't know Him.
Amen.
They don't walk by faith. They don't know how to maintain their own joy and strength.
Amen.
They don't know how to do it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Be strong. I mean, an unsaved guy. God says to him, Joshua, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. My God. That should have been said in the New Testament at least 2 million times. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Word is good.
Hallelujah.
And it's powerful.
And
glory to God. And see, we want to walk in the light. But see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word.
Amen.
Now, the following scripture I'm going to read to you here in the book of Hebrews. We're going to go over to Hebrews. Now, this was written about the children of Israel who came out of Egypt. See, now God's building faith in this guy, and I can talk about this. The children of Israel came out of Egypt, and this is what, in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, see, that was over in the third chapter. The fourth chapter starts with this. Because of what was said in the third, they came out, they never entered the rest of God. Let me say this to you. Not in any criticism whatsoever. If you have trouble being at rest with God, it's because you have a faith problem.
Come on.
Now, I'm not knocking it. I'm just telling you, this is the truth.
Amen.
And Israel was not in faith, therefore they couldn't enter rest. That's why they didn't go into the land. Two men, Joshua and Caleb, were at rest to go into that land. We can go take it. Yep. We can win. They were at rest. We can win this fight. All the rest of the men, just from 20 years old and up, not another one of them was at rest. Can you imagine the majority of the crowd, 99.9999999999999% are in unbelief. Why? Can't enter rest. What? Here's the reason. We're going to find out. Therefore, verse 1 in chapter 4 in Hebrews, therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, you see there's a promise made, let us fear lest any of you, this is Christians, seem to have come short of it. Now it's going to tell you how you come short of it. Listen. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as them. Now they didn't get the gospel of Jesus Christ. They got the gospel that God gave them. I give you this land. This belongs to you. And in the same way, we entered our covenant through Jesus Christ. This is the gospel to us. Gospel is just this. People say the gospel, you need to understand, because you say gospel, there's difference about gospel. I could preach the gospel of healing, which is not preached. But there's a gospel of healing. There's a gospel of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Good news about the Holy Ghost, about receiving the Holy Ghost. It's a gospel preached. You need to understand, we're preaching about a gospel. They had a gospel preached to them that God said, you come out of here, this land belongs to you. I'm going to take you over there. This land flowing with milk and honey. Yahoo, let's go there. And what happened? Here's what it tells us. But, oh, it's a shame, a but got put in there. Yeah, and somebody should have kicked their butt. It says, the word which they heard did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Faith came by hearing, but they didn't take it and mix that faith in with what they heard. It's like that in our gospel. This is speaking to Christians. What has happened? The same thing. Do you really mix faith in what you hear? Do you start to take that thing and say what it says? Do you start acting like what it says is true? Not mixing faith. See, they didn't. What did they do? They come out, when they heard that God's taken the land, they heard that when they first came across into the land. They had heard that said concerning Abraham for over 400 years before that this land was going to be theirs. God was giving it to you. And all that time, they never acted in faith. They never mixed faith with the words they heard. Why wouldn't they go down and rebel 10 times against God? And they get to the land and they can't go in. Who'd think they could? Why is it when we're trying to enter things in the land, we can't get them? When we ain't been saying nothing, we ain't been... till we finally get there, then we're trying to believe God. No. Hallelujah. This is why, when you find promises of God, you start talking them promises. When you find things in the Word, it says it's yours, you start talking like it's yours. Well, I'm going to try to get that. Yeah, just forget it, go home. We ain't trying to get nothing. It was given to us. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. God already said it belongs to you. Why are you trying to squirrel around to try to get something already belongs to you? Why are you going through some shenanigans? We don't have to go through nothing. When you hear what the Word says, mix faith with it. Get it on your voice.
Amen.
Don't you talk something else. That's why God gave Abraham His name. You got this name now. You tell the people, the hundreds of people that you own here, you tell them, this is my name. When you call on me, this be the name. I don't want to hear another name. When you talk to Mama, Sarah, over here, you make sure. That's her name. Remember, I own you. And if you want to live long and prosper, it won't happen because you put their hands up a certain way. It cause you call me the right thing. Or your life may get short.
Amen.
You understand? The devil's in this world, and you know what? Christians are targets who are not using faith. Are targets to problems. They don't use faith, become a target. If anything that God, the devil wants you to do is move you away from faith, get you to say what all your problems are and all your... Not talk this covenant made between God and me. Hey, God and I got a covenant. We have a covenant. He made it between me and Him.
Amen.
The day I called on that name, that covenant was founded between me and Him.
Hallelujah.
And He will do His part in everything that He can to fulfill that covenant to its fullness in me.
Amen.
My job is to walk in faith to allow Him to do it. Mm-hmm. My job, just obey Him. Do what He says. Why? Because He's already established my covenant. He wants to fulfill all this in you. This is what He wants to do. He's established His covenant. Abraham, he ain't telling Abraham he got to do. He just walk before me, you know. Do what's right, walk right. You go before me. I'm establishing this covenant. This is what I'm going to do for you.
Amen.
Isn't that nice?
Amen.
We ought to jump through some hoops and do some special stuff. And if I do this special thing, God, God, if I do this for you, will you do this for me? You know, maybe if I ask Mary, then you'll answer my prayer. You know, maybe if I talk nice to your mama, you know, maybe if I do something, this is religion out here. Don't laugh at them. Christians do it all the time. Spirit-filled people are trying to bargain with God. I'm going to tell you, I don't have to bargain with God. He done made the bargain. All I got to do is follow what He bargained. He established a covenant. Last time I checked, Ed didn't. Ed didn't establish the covenant. He made a covenant better than any covenant I could ever conceive in my mind. The more I learn about this thing, the more I am amazed. He is astounding what He has made for us. It is absolutely incredible. And so, walking in the light of that. So we need this. We're dealing with the areas of faith, and we need to come down with the fact about faith. You always must mix faith with what you heard. You got to take faith, and faith comes, but what did you do with it? If it's just silent, See, I've watched this over the years. I've had people that have come to me and said, boy, I tell you, that message that you spoke to me really spoke to me. And I'll tell you what, I know this. Within a short period of time, they're talking the opposite of what they said that message spoke to. Mm-hmm. I've had that so many times over the years. Boy, that message today really spoke to me. Mm-hmm. Say, well, we'll find out in a few weeks.
Amen.
Why? They never go back and listen to it. They don't talk it. If something spoke to you, you better get with the program. Because one day God may quit speaking to you about that. You know what? He came to the day he quit talking to Israel about it. He said, you guys are going out on the desert now. I've had it. We ain't going to faith anymore. I'm not going to talk faith to you. We're going to talk judgment. How does that sound? You're going to really like this because we're going to deal with it over 40 years. You thought it was bad in Egypt. Wait till you see this one. I'm going to let you have everything you said with your mouth. Mm. He said, except for one thing. Your children ain't going to die like you scumbags. They're going to make it to the land. Mm. See, we need to come over in the light of these things. This is about faith. When God gives us the Word, that is the most powerful thing He can ever do to you.
Amen.
Everybody's waiting for a miracle. They happen by faith. People respond to God. God don't come out of heaven and come down here and do all this. He'll work through somebody of faith. Somebody follows Him. Somebody does it, and God does a miracle.
Amen.
Moses followed Him, went out there. Moses, He gave Moses the stick. Moses had to use the stick, or it didn't work. My stick's my faith.
Amen.
It's my stick.
Amen.
God, is it a stick? I'll tell you, what a stick. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. It's when we speak it, it's the voice of God speaking.
Amen.
When I speak the Word, it's the voice of God. And I'm going to tell you, hell trembles.
Amen.
Hell trembles. The reason hell's been doing all it's done in this nation is because the majority of Christianity is talking what hell's doing. They're watching all the new stuff, Fox, and listening to all them, and all they're griping and moaning, and this person saying this, and this person saying that. We need to get the words of God and speak the words. Let God speak in this nation. Let God speak. The power. That's what's going to bring the devil to a halt. Glory to God. Boy, that's good preaching it.
Amen.
I want to tell Romans the 4th chapter. We're going to read some scripture here concerning the heirs of faith. Hallelujah. I want to see if Abraham. We're going to look at him in Romans the 4th chapter. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I didn't know how I was going to preach this today, but God has ideas. Glory. Anyhow, Romans the 4th chapter, verse 17 says this. I love the introduction. As it is written. As it is written. I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of Him whom he believed. God. Why? See, He could be the father of many nations in the presence. He believed. He believed. Abraham believed. He believed. He changed his name. He believed. He didn't say, yeah, that's really nice. Now, Sarah, we don't want to say this because people think we're crazy. God gave me a name. You know, we need to understand. We're called believers. Let's start doing that.
Amen.
Let's start doing that. Hallelujah. He said, in the presence of God, whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they do. Why is this introduction given to this, what he's going to talk about? Abraham. It don't look like Abraham and Sarah, this is a dead thing. God said, nope, there's life in this thing. What are you saying? See, I always watch people. They have a problem with it, healing, whatever it is. You know, people come say, you know, we can't have children. Would you pray for us? Well, first, can I change your voice?
Amen.
You keep saying you can't.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Say, let's believe God and you can.
Amen.
No, let's keep saying we can't. I can't do this. You know, I'm telling you, yeah, you know, but all things are possible to him that believeth, but I can't do that. So you just told me you ain't mixing no faith with nothing. You're the don't believeth. Think about that. Be careful what you say.
Amen.
Be careful about what you say. You set a course for yourself. I'll tell you, you do it for so long, I'm just going to tell you something. This isn't unbelief. It's just the way that it is. I've watched it. You can get to the point where you can't change it. You have said it and said it and said it and said it. Those people come out of Egypt, you know what? They were full of unbelief over there. They've been saying it for 400 years. And they get out of here, they can't change. All the miracles, all the stuff God does, and they can't change. This is God's covenant people. We're not talking about the Gentile, the heathen. There's stuff, I'm just going to tell you, God can't change in some people in the church. He's not. He told me about this. He can't change it. They have set a course. And he said, they're going to have to go off the face of the earth. Can't be changed. They've said it, they've said it, they believe it away. They've said it. And I'm talking about, they'll swear they're walking and following God. But they don't realize, they ain't believing what God says. People don't see themselves as that. Man, I want to stay teachable.
Amen. Amen.
I want God to be able to wake me up at night and say, Ed, you need to change some things, and I hear it.
Amen.
I want to stay there.
Amen.
I want to stay in that place. He can talk to me. Because you know what? I need to talk to sometimes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. You don't say all this stuff just say, so I can preach. He says it because I need to change.
Because
you know what? I want to.
Amen.
I want to. Like we're singing this song, I'm desperate for you. Are they just words out of your mouth? Are you really?
Come on.
Just ask it.
Preach.
Are you really? See, we see words that have no faith in them at all. You know what God said? A lot of the worship of the church. He said, just people singing songs.
Amen.
People are just singing songs. We're going through the motions. What about inside? Am I thinking at all about the words I'm saying? Do I have any thought in them? I'm saying all this thing, Lord, I love you. And where am I going to eat after church? I'm just thinking about that. My stomach been growling or not. What am I going to do next week? We got this. I sure do love you. You know? I know I'm the only one that's ever done that. I realize you people. You got to bring yourself back over.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, all these things, faith, worship, and it's out of your heart. It's not out of your head.
Yes.
God ain't talking to your head.
That's right.
God renews your mind through your spirit, not through what comes out of your natural ear and is told to you. That is not. I can stand here and preach all day and your mind not get renewed at all.
That's right.
It's what you pick up in your heart. See, my heart will wake me up at night because it wants to talk. It wants to say things to God. My heart will. My inner man. It's strong.
Amen.
It's starting to get a little control over my flesh.
Amen.
It's starting to rise up. That's spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Spirituality is not out of your head.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
See, I can have a lot of things in my mind that I need to, I'd like to do things that, but I got to get it down in here to this, because this is where the power is to bring it to pass on the inside. It ain't out of my head.
Amen.
Faith ain't of the mind. I could say all the right things out of here, but if it's not in here, it's not in the inner man. Calling things that be not as though they were. Hallelujah. That don't exist. The things that don't exist. Hallelujah. Speaking the things that don't exist. What about is that you have about yourself that don't exist? Do you keep talking about what doesn't exist in you or what the Bible says does? Does the Bible call you holy? You call yourself unholy. You know, just like, we said, Keith Moore, says this guy, keep saying, I don't smoke anymore. Why? See, I don't smoke anymore. Well, I'm still smoking. You just don't understand. Can Can I get you? See, I'm the guy all the time telling you what to say. Are you doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Most time people ain't.
No.
We're not doing it. See, that was really good. But we ain't doing it. That was true. See, telling you what to say. Telling you how to overcome. Telling you how to overcome. Get the words. What is it? Don't try to overcome everything in your life at one time. Pick something and overcome.
That's right.
You ain't going to overcome everything at once. Ain't going to ever happen. You fix a problem. You have a problem? It's like, start to fix that. Start to fix that problem. Start talking in a direction. I'm just going to tell you this. There's a lot of things that will change in your life if you'll just pick some things where you'll finally change yourself in an area.
Amen.
And amazed how it'll change other things in your life.
Amen.
Just by getting fixed in that area.
Amen.
It is amazing. Over obeying God in one area is a blessing in another area.
Amen.
The devil keeps you over there focused on all the messes you got, and every time you go to try to fix one, he'll remind you of 10 others, and you run over there like a little puppy, licking at him. God's trying to show me something. No, that's the devil trying to get you focused away from what you're trying to accomplish.
Amen.
Just the way we are. You can't fix everything about you all at one time. It'll never work. See, God started me off. You know, every one of you, you have things within yourself God's trying to deal with you in a certain area.
Amen.
It might be the area you're ignoring and you know it.
Amen.
It's a thing you don't want to deal with about you.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I have those. See, God, you must be talking about the neighbor. No, I got this problem here. See, this is what God's doing. See, when I first started off, God didn't do me a whole bunch of all different things. He told me I had to come to the place where Wanda could trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Many Christians, they'll grow up and they never have a really good relationship in husband and wife. Oh, they have natural things about it. But spiritually, when one talks, the other one don't know. They only just listen because if I listen what they want, they'll do. They really don't know. They're not hearing from God. See, I had to come to the place. God really dealt with me. And that's why I'd try to go on to other things, but God bring it back. About my conduct and how I did. See, you need to understand, your faith ain't going to work any better than your conduct.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't get your faith to work in your household and in you, what's the point of all this? See, this is where God became real to me. What He did in me, I could stop and say, you know, this stuff works.
Amen.
This stuff works. Now, I'm not telling you it's always the easy thing to do. But see, stay focused, because what happens, we like to, you know, you people over there, you're working on this hard thing, but then all of a sudden, there's a cool thing over here to do. You know, let's go over there. I like that better. And we leave that thing alone. See, people have different problems in different areas. Some things are harder for one person than another.
Right.
I didn't have a bit of problem about the finance thing, about giving and stuff. Didn't have any trouble at all. But some people, they have a terrible time with it. You need to work on that. Mm-hmm. If you have a time with that, about the areas of giving, you better stop and get that fixed, because what? It's going to hurt you. Because I found this. These things don't hurt you just in that area.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It always bleeds over into other things.
Yep.
See, the devil will try to keep you. Well, that's not important. This is. See, it's like with God. You know, here's the church's teaching. This is what God's talking about. We get over doing our thing. The way you're going to fix it with your wife and stuff, you need to spend more time with her. God said, no, you don't. You don't know how to act when you're around.
Amen.
See, I needed to get fixed to spend time with my wife. You better listen. That's why relationships never get fixed. We're always superficial and trying to get this stuff to work. Superficial. That's not how it works. No matter what my wife does, I love her.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Amen.
There's nothing else I'm going to, you know, don't matter. It doesn't matter if we get frustrated with each other and do, you know, that means nothing.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, that's it. I love her, that's it. And in doing stuff, I'll prefer her before me.
Amen.
And it should be the other way too.
That's right.
Amen.
Want to make it work? We always prefer the other before ourselves.
Amen.
You can find out if God's really working in you.
Amen.
If you have to have your way all the time and it got to be you, that's a good sign. You're a baby.
Amen.
That's what babies are. I don't get what I want, I cry. And I cry loud enough to annoy everybody. When they're crying a lot of the time, you know. The world's full of cries. And I'll tell you what, you grow up spiritually, I know how to turn it all off. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm not moved by the cry. I'm moved by God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. You got to come there. There must be escape from this stuff. You can't live under the pressure and keep yielding to it. It wears you out.
Amen. Preach.
This is why so many people taking some anxiety. I got anxiety. Well, you got that from the devil. Quit hanging with him. Quit following his path. Quit doing his stuff. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This grace either works or it don't.
Amen.
This grace is either good or it's not.
Amen.
Either grace will put you over or it won't.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I gave up this now. If grace isn't putting me over, it's because I ain't operating the grace. That's why. I'm not yielded to it.
Come on.
I'm just bawling and squalling like I want it.
Mm-hmm.
That don't bring it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Faith and patience inherits the promise.
Amen.
I like this about Abraham, you know, on here. Who, contrary to hope, I like this. Because see, we hear all this hope today, hope stuff, hope stuff. Let me tell you about hope. Hope is nothing till it comes to faith. Hope is a good, wishful, happy thing. Hey, I have hope. I'm looking to, I want some. Hope won't bring it to pass. It'll never do.
Amen.
Contrary to hope. In other words, from a natural standpoint, Abraham's looking and saying, I'm an old man, she's an old lady. There it is. So in other words, now understand, this is where they believe. I want you to get to this. When God taught Abraham and changed his name, Abraham changed. Because this same Abraham went on when Sarah died, married a woman and had 5 more boys. See, he found out, I ain't old. See, you've been listening to too much. You have said too much with your mouth. We can't do this. You know, we're at this point. Well, who said that besides you? And the devil got together in a way of believing where you mixed faith with it and put it on your mouth. Have you been there? I have been there. I've had to change some of those things. See, Abraham, listen, hey, I'm an old dude. After he got onto this faith thing, I ain't an old dude no more.
Amen.
Uh-huh. I'm going to live long and prosper. Hallelujah. See, he got somewhere. It says, in hope, what did he do with hope? He believed. He turned hope. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for. See, you might have the substance. Faith will give you that. It makes hope into an... Hope has no substance to it till you add faith. Till you mix faith with it. Till you mix faith, you can have all the hope in the world. Hope is always the future. Faith is now.
Amen.
See, I receive my healing now. I'm not seeing my healing. I'm not waiting to see my healing tomorrow. I'm receiving it right now. I believe I have it now. I believe I got it. See, I just put substance to my hopes of being healed. See, but my body says I'm not healed yet. Well, you just went back to unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
You lost hope. You threw hope out and faith went... No, my hope's sound because I have faith.
Amen.
So what I hope for will come to pass.
Amen.
It's going to happen to me.
Amen.
I always say to people, just hide and watch. You'll see.
Amen.
Glory
Amen.
To God. I'll believe. Why? So that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Just think of the time that Sarah dies. Just think of it. He's got one kid under the promise, that's it. He's got 2 kids and he had to tell the one to leave. This is the father of many nations? What are you saying? Do you need To see $1 million in your checking account, do you believe you're rich? Most people do. You say, are you rich? Well, I'm doing good. I'm rich.
Amen.
I'm rich in health. I'm rich in a sound
Amen.
Mind. I'm
yes.
rich in money. You name it, I'm rich. Why? God made a covenant with me.
Amen.
He said, I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heaven, blessed in Christ Jesus. Man, to me, say something else, just be a knucklehead.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be a knucklehead.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm rich. Glory
Amen.
To God.
Amen.
I'm so blessed.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. See, you don't look blessed. I don't care what you think I look like. Hallelujah. It's what I believe is what counts, not what you think or you say.
Amen.
The only thing that counts for me is what I believe and say.
Amen.
Not what you believe and say.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That's why we don't follow people, we follow God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Follow the Word. Hallelujah. He didn't consider his own body already dead. See, at this point, the way he's believing, he's believing he got a dead body. At that point, he did. Since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, how could Sarah have a kid at 90? How's this going to work? What did he say? He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. What did he do? How did he strengthen himself? Calling himself what God said he was. Calling Sarah what God said she was. And then you know what you do? This isn't virgin Sarah. He's taking an old woman, an old man taking an old woman to bed, saying, well, this, you know, we're just shooting blanks. You know, this ain't working. We're just being blunt here. You got to be at the church because most people are so dense, they read this stuff and they think, well, you know what I mean? No, they had to start going to bed because understand, in a year she's going to produce a child. That means they got 3 months to get to work.
Amen.
And Sarah can't have a headache and Sarah can't sit and Rahab said, man, I'm tired. I've been working all day. These sheep and goats out here and there's two camels.
Right.
To my words.
That
is 13-year-olds give me a hard time, and I just, my God. No, we're gonna Sarah, let's produce that kid.
Amen.
And every night, let's produce that kid.
Yes.
Oh, we just
Amen.
Do it too often. Do it too much. You just talk that stuff too much. You just say it too much. You just overdo it, Ed. I've been told by preachers I overdo it. Hallelujah. Thank God I do.
Amen.
Somebody's got to overdo something.
Hallelujah.
I'm tired of good messages. I want the truth.
Amen.
I want power spoken that'll change things.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're not just speaking to... When I preach, I'm not just speaking to your ears. I'm speaking to the spirit realm. I'm letting the devil know the direction I'm going and what's being said in the realm of the spirit. I want him to know where I'm at. My words are eternal words when I'm speaking the words of God.
Amen. Amen.
Man's opinion, you know what it is?
That's right.
We don't care. Everybody got one.
Amen.
We've done smoke those and the devil has cheered and cheered and cheered and cheered.
Amen.
Speaking the Word of God. It's the eternal. It's called the eternal Word of God. When we speak it, we're speaking on this earth. We're the ones with authority. God could not bring that to pass unless Abraham and Sarah had to cooperate because in the earth, the authority's in man, not God.
Amen. Preach.
You need to understand that. If your life don't work, it's because you've blown it concerning your authority. I don't see it to hurt anybody. Or it's the way it is.
Preach.
The authority's on this side.
Amen.
As we go on and teach this subject, we'll go into more of that and showing concerning Abraham. We can learn so many things about authority concerning Abraham when we understand this covenant thing, understand how it works, because these principles are completely identical in our covenant.
Amen.
Faith does not change. This is why. You want faith? You want to make your faith stronger? Should I tell you to make faith strong? Acting on it.
Amen.
See, once you believe something and you mix faith with it, you got believing in it, you want to become a strong belief, start acting like it's true.
That's right.
If you don't, you'll become weak in faith. After a while, you're talking and talking and you'll get tired of talking. You know, I come to the point of don't talk anymore. I'm all into doing.
Amen.
When I had my heart attack, I was running down the road. I wasn't saying anything anymore. The devil kept telling me they're going to find me dead along the road. And what are the people of the church going to say? I didn't answer it. Why? I'm doing. I'm out there putting one foot in front of the other.
Amen.
And he's saying, you're going to die. And I said, putting one foot in front of the other again. We're moving along. You're going to die. You're going to die. Everybody else, just confess, 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 and don't do a darn thing.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Act like it's true.
Come on.
Hallelujah. The one with the issue of blood. Boy, if I go out there and get him to touch me, I'll get healed. Yeah, that'll work. I'm going to stay at home because that's too far away to walk. And you don't know how tired I am. I got an issue. See, I got an issue. This is American. We all got issues. And our issue is laziness and stupidity. We got plenty of blood. Oh, that meeting's too far away. We buy these cars, spend fortunes for them. We'll fly around the world to have a good time. But get to a meeting, it's too far away. Costs too much to stay there. I'm going to tell you, if it's on the moon, I'll get a ride.
Amen.
One way or the other, we're going to go there.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God. Gee, when I'm back and I came in the kingdom, that's the way people were. You did whatever you did to go to a meeting. You just didn't. Oh, I'm so busy. I'm so busy doing my thing. I ain't got time for God and His stuff anymore. I don't have to go to meetings. I tell you what, I got a TV and a phone. I can just walk. Wow, we could go here. I'm traveling the world on my phone.
Preach.
And we've gotten seriously real spiritual doing this. I would advise you to talk to the Lord about what He thinks of a lot of this going on.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do that.
Amen.
See, I grew up in the age when they first started satellites and how we weren't going to have to go preach the gospel anymore. We're going to put it on satellites. Well, from then on, everything went downhill. Christians quit going. Christians quit. We don't gather together.
Come on.
Don't forsake yourself. I don't have to obey the word. I'm
preach.
A faith person.
Preach. Preach.
I go to church once a week. I'm a Come something,
on.
I'll tell you.
Come on. Come on.
Okay, I'll quit meddling and go on here. All right. But he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but strengthened in faith, gave glory to God, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Now this is where faith arrives. You got to keep yourself saying the thing. You got to come there. You're totally convinced.
Amen.
It belongs to you. It's yours. God will do it for you. See, I can tell lots of times. I've learned over the times of laying hands on people for healing. Then most people come. What they say to you is never usually faith words.
Amen.
They're telling you what's wrong with them. They don't say, hey, why don't you lay your hands on and agree with me. I believe God's giving me something. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be set free. Never say that. Never say that.
Mm-hmm.
No, lay your hand on my unbelieving head because I've been talking all this stuff about my problem. And now let's say, maybe you will pull your Harry Potter stick out and walk me with it.
Mm.
And I'll, turn into something else. Hopefully a frog. No, it's faith. See, Christians should come differently than sinners do to have hands laid on them.
Yes.
Amen.
They don't. Christians come faith. When I go there, I've learned this. This is what I say. If I want somebody to lay hands on me, whatever it is laying hands on for, I say, when I go up there, they put their hands on me, that's going to go into me, and I'm going to have exactly what to say.
Amen.
I say that before. If you ain't said nothing, you haven't done nothing with faith. You can tell me what you believe all you want. Till it got on your lips and you acted it, you did nothing.
That's right.
We need to understand these things. How do we separate all this stuff? How did we do this? That somehow we can separate this stuff and say, I'm in faith. What did you say? Well, what scripture you stand on? I have one about see, we use the terms of faith, and it's all a game. It's just game saying. It's all religious, and it isn't. God's not made. God wants people to come around. Wake up.
Amen.
Really listen to what's being said. What the Word really says. Not your religious idea. Don't get your idea that you're in faith. Just say, I believe that. If it don't work for you, you ain't believing it.
Amen. Come on.
There's nothing wrong with it. When I found I can't move in an area, now I know what I have to do. I have to come to a place where I can build myself. See, lots of times, most people make a confession and they call it a faith confession. Lots of times, what I'm doing is building myself till I can turn it into a faith confession. I'm saying it over and over to get myself on the inside where now I'm ready to release this. I'm pulling the trigger. We got it.
Amen.
This is where people miss it all the time. I made the right confession. Yeah, but when are you going to believe it? When's that thing going to blow up into what you wanted? When's that going to happen? When do you know you got it? That's where the faith thing worked. You got to come to that point. We're too quick to all of a sudden pray, call, said, just say. We don't really know. I'm not ready to do that. I learned myself. I learned from Kenneth E. Hagin, you know. My God, when I lived first time, listened to him, he talked about it. He said, his children, and they needed prayer. He said, I never prayed for them right away. Oh my God. He's sure not an American Christian. My God, our kids just whimper 2 seconds. And nothing happens.
Right.
He said, I'd always get the word out and I'd meditate on it and I was ready to release my faith, and he said, it'd work.
Amen.
Not us. Somebody come pray for me. Let's come over here. Let's talk about this. I don't have time. I'm going. Well, stay sick. Goodbye. I ain't praying. I don't pray prayers of unbelief to dumb people.
Amen.
There's no point. I ain't got time to listen to this because I'd have to get in faith. I want you to seek God and trust Him and fix me while I go live like hell.
Come on, preach.
Well, I live in unbelief.
Preach.
Well, I live in la-la land. You're supposed to do that. You know, you're the pastor. And I'm just sorry today, a lot of the pastors are pastoring goats.
Yep. Come on. Come on.
There he is.
People full of unbelief. See, you have to know, these are the things you run into out here.
Amen.
Basically, they come to you, they want a pastor. That's what they're looking for. In other words, you take me, I don't do nothing to entertain me, you take care of the thing and that stuff, I eat, and then when you're not looking, I run off.
Come on.
It's good preaching. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, I like the fact that he was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And he said, therefore, what was this? This was accounted to him as righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. In other words, righteousness is by faith. You got saved. It was accounted to you because you believed. Not because you were born again. The born again was the circumcision of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
Yes.
It ain't. See, we're trying to receive things from God in an unrighteous manner. No. Faith makes me righteous. That's a powerful thing. When I actually am operating faith, I can walk into the throne of God and say, you know, concerning this, I'm righteous. I'm believing you. I believe that you will do exactly what you say. And God's there, sure enough, you is. No, we're trying to get a thing. Woo, like something big, God gave it to you. When I know I'm righteous, it is mine. I know He couldn't do anything else but give it to me. Why would I get so excited after it happened? I already, you know, it's like, you know, somebody says, I'm going to put $2 million in your bank account. And I ain't going to get excited, you know, and I know the guy's trustworthy and was going to do what he said. And I'll get excited when I see it. Well, if you trusted and knew what he'd do, you'd be run blabbing telling anybody. And you would. If it was a person, you'd do it. God says it's in your account and your mouth's a tight shut. They couldn't pry it open with a crowbar.
Come on.
Woo! You see what I'm talking about?
Yes.
See, get a hold of this. This is not just for you, it's for people out here. See, the church has gotten away from what faith's about and the actual principles of it. Faith has three parts to it. Believing in your heart, saying with your mouth, and then acting like it's true. And you don't have those three things working, you don't know what faith is. See, the church has only been taught to do two of them. See, I believe it, and then make us confession, and then walk off. Well, one day, maybe God will do it, and when God does, they're surprised. Like I had years ago, a certain thing, and I made a confession about God's going to do something, and God did it, and a person said to me, he said, you know, he didn't really get excited about that happen. I said, I already did my jig when I asked for it. I knew he gave it to me. I said, you weren't ever in faith because you have to see it before you get excited. Faith is excited when you believed you received it. Hallelujah. I got it. It's mine. Hallelujah. It belongs to me. I can be happy. See, that's when you should do your cheering.
Amen.
When you believe it's yours. Just think about this. If you really believed it was yours, what would your actions be? Well, we're just still praying and believing. What on earth are you praying for if you believed you got it?
Right.
What on earth are you praying about? No, you're full of unbelief. You ain't believe you got it yet.
Amen.
You're still trying to get it. We ain't praying about it. See, I may pray about some things till I get myself over in some faith. I may have to talk to the Lord a little bit about getting myself in line to get it. But once I know I got it, I got it.
Amen.
You know, when I confessed Jesus as Lord, I didn't have to sit and pray. You know, it was something. I don't get people in this whole bit about faith. Abraham, this guy out here, he's not born again. And he could be so moved in what God said that he ain't moved about Sarah being old and him being old. He ain't moved. See, I'm not moved by my age.
Amen.
I'm not moved by my age. I'm moved by the Word of God. That's when I'm moved. See, there's a lot said out here. All the time we have things going on and being said. There are always words out here that see that they want you, that really, all kind of things are said contrary to the Word of God. But you know what? They're trying to get you to believe them and then start to say them. And so I'm going to go tell somebody else about this and I'm going to go speak it. Did you hear what so-and-so said? You know, there's one thing. I hear people talking about, you know, the thing, and they were talking about, you know, Donald Trump and getting Iran to sign the deal. And I'll just be honest with you. I can't have faith that it's going to happen from the standpoint unless God would tell me. As number one, Trump has been saying they had the deal signed months ago. So what? I know this. And I know what he's doing. He's trying to keep oil prices down. Because the more he says they're going to sign it, the stock market's moved by it, folks. You need to understand this. The stock market is not moved by any kind of faith in nothing. It's moved by what it sees or what it thinks might happen. And see, as long as he sees they're going to have a deal, the oil's going to flow, so the oil prices will stay down. Now, I know from all that he said, I can't trust the fact that it's going to be signed just because he says it. Because he has said it and said it and said it and said it and it didn't happen. Now, I'm not criticizing the man. He ain't God, so I ain't interested in none of that. I have no interest in none of that. I am just saying, we're not just knocking the man. Praise God for what things he has done. But he's, you know what? He's a businessman operating under business like the world does. Why? That's what he's trained as. Well, we know he ain't trained real good in godliness. But I'm not knocking him for it. Whether people say, well, he's a Christian or he's not a Christian. I don't know. I heard him with his own voice on a video and he made this statement about it. He said he didn't know if he was a Christian or not. I don't know. I mean, I'm just taking his word. I just pray to God because I do want to see him in heaven. Hallelujah. I want him to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, there's things that he does, and you'd sure think as good as he's been to Christianity in America, I'd hate to see him not go to heaven.
Amen.
But you know, see, people get dry. Well, he's in this, he's that. I'm sorry. I can only go by what he says. I don't care what you say. Mm-hmm. It's his words. And I can't have confidence in these things unless God would tell me about it. Because I can't have confidence in his words. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. We're not knocking him. I'm just saying, see, his words have not come to pass time and time again. So therefore, I can't have confidence in that, can I? Mm-hmm. I can't have confidence in that. Oh yeah, this, yep, we're going to have it by this weekend and it didn't come. We're going to have it by next week and it didn't come. We're going to have it by, you know, so there's me saying, I understand. I'm not knocking it. He's working at this thing.
Amen.
And that's fine. But putting faith in it, well, you can't have faith in that. Mm-hmm. See, it's a good thing to find out what heaven's doing. And I'm going to tell you, this situation, I'm just going to tell you this. You need to do a lot of praying in tongues and stay out of your head. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you utterance in praying about these things. I'm totally convinced of this because things God told me is the reason a lot of things ain't moving around. Christians keep praying their ideas. See, we don't need... You know what? I ain't smart enough to know all... I don't have the information. I don't have the information Trump got on things. I don't have it. Everybody else, I like all these experts we have. And all these experts, you will find out, are wrong usually 90% of the time. Ever follow up? Listen to experts over time and they tell you stuff about the economy. You follow it and you look at next year, you're going to find out they missed the whole thing. Every time it has. Every time. Missed the whole thing. Experts. This I found out. I don't qualify as that kind of expert. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, God is an expert. And if anything that I need is His wisdom on doing things, especially what we're asking for. I want to close this. Something that the Lord dealt with me with about, that we need to understand this. You know, Abraham had the same problem we do. You know, Abraham, God gave him a son, Isaac. And you know what Abraham did? God told him, said, you know, Isaac's the one that the blessing's coming through. It's going to follow him. What did he do? What about Ishmael? You see, under his culture, the eldest gets it. That's what his son did. His son's going to give it to the eldest heathen. He was going to pass it off. See, I'm not knocking Abraham. The Lord just told me. You see, culture, lots of times, don't follow what God wants. And so men are believing for things, but it ain't what God did. Israel got in more messes in their nation by following culture. And America, Christianity, has done the same thing. We need God's wisdom. See, God's wisdom. No, this is going to follow the one coming out of Sarah. But what about Ishmael? What about Ishmael? This is my 13-year-old boy over here. God said, no. That I already said I'm going to bless him. But the covenant goes with this boy. The one I picked. The one I picked. Who'd God pick? See, we've done a lot of picking over time, haven't we? This one, in fact, Abraham didn't get it so much that Sarah, as we read on, finds out has to be the one to tell him, no, we can't keep them here, they got to go. And God said, you listen to her. Well, I'm sorry, we always give it to the oldest one. Come on, let's do it. Think about that. We got to give it to the oldest. We got to do this. See, he's still fighting for that. God, is he human like us, ain't he? We got traditions, folks. And we're believing God to fulfill our traditions, whether they work for us or not. We got traditions. Don't you? Now look, I'm not knocking. This is something the Lord talking about. We're all dealing with this. We're all dealing with these things. And this is why it's finding out what God wants in things. You know, some things, tradition-wise, don't make much difference anyway at all. But there's some things that make huge differences that are very things that we covet very much, but may not work out for us well at all. And this is why we seek God. We want to find out. I want to know what He has to say on these subjects, and not just what I got to say on. I got a lot of ideas, but I found out He has ideas. There's one thing is, we need so much desperate help right now here in America. We need to know His way and what He's doing, what He wants to bring to pass, what He wants to set in motion. We need. I was talking to about, you know, He is just full of wisdom. He's just full of understanding. He knows, and I talk to Him about this all the time. I just tell Him how smart He is. Knows, Lord, I got to get some of Your smarts. I have to have them because we're looking at things and things going on and in a direction with our nation and stuff going on. We need wisdom from above. We're hearing too many voices, and most of them aren't good to hear. We're hearing voices. The Lord told us, let me just say this. You know, we talk about the Tower of Babel. What was God doing? Now, the Tower of Babel, nobody's saved. Not one person's born again. Yet, the Scriptures tells us, God said, see, they're all talking, heading in the same direction, they're in unity. And what does God? God said, nothing will be withheld from them. They keep doing this. What does God do? He changes their language so they can't speak the same thing together. This is what the devil's done to the church. The church is speaking all over the place and all over everything and all the mess out here. God gave us the book to speak, and the church got everything but this. All full of its ideas and its things and its stuff, and we're not speaking this. This thing is the unity to the church. It brings it in when we speak in the same stuff. And when we don't have wisdom, we need to get God to reveal these things to us in this so we can begin to speak the same thing. And wonderfully, He gave you the ability to speak in other tongues. So when we don't know what's going on, we can, Holy Ghost, I don't know what's going on. Give me the ability to speak out the plan and purpose of God. Hallelujah. Let's get God's will rolling in this thing. I've given my opinion, and He's probably still laughing about that. But God, hallelujah. I'm interested in Your, I want Your will and Your plan and Your purpose. You need to understand this. In the world and even in the church today, there's many ministries that consider themselves prosperous and really big, and God didn't prosper them, nor did God make them big. It's just like people could prosper under the Tower of Babel. Sinners could prosper. They prospered. They were financially prosperous. They were doing, going to town. We can build towers. We're on our way, man. We're doing our thing. Why? Because the principle of words in a person's heart and spoken from their mouth is not a Christian principle. It's a spiritual principle. It works. It works in people. Whether they're saved or not. It works. That's how I quit smoking. Said something from my heart. I tried quit smoking all kinds of... I'm a sinner and I quit smoking by faith. Didn't realize how it worked, what it did, till I got saved and understood and started studying the Bible and found out about faith and looking at it and realized it's the first time I spoke from my heart about quitting smoking. See, I don't always try to quit smoking. One day I'm at work. We're in the lunchroom. Want to get a pack of cigarettes and a machine, they went up to 60 cents. And I said this. And I realized when I said it. I said, I'm not paying 60 cents for a pack of cigarettes. I quit smoking. I ain't doing it. I said that from my heart. I quit smoking. I was a sinner. Before, I tried to quit smoking, never could. I quit smoking, never was bugged from that time on to have a cigarette. Why? Said it from my heart. I was a sinner. Said it from my heart. Never bothered me to smoke. I quit smoking. I didn't sit around and say, oh man, I'm just fighting not to have a cigarette. Never had that at all. Why? Something went on in my heart. I'm a sinner. Something went off in my heart and I said it with my mouth. And the power of that, I never went back. I didn't say a cigarette. People said, I don't smoke anymore. I tell people that. I don't smoke no more. I'm trying to quit. Oh, just have a cigarette and be quiet. Tired of listening to you. Just wear yourself out. It's like the people going down. You know, I'm down here and I'm trying to quit drinking and that stuff. I'm an alcoholic. I'm trying to quit drinking. You know, I'm down here. So I got to go to meetings all the time because I want to drink all the time. Well, every time they go, you stand up and tell everybody you're drunk.
Come on.
I'm a drug addict. You know, that's what I am. I'm trying to quit, but I'm a drug addict. And they get you to confess it. They say, have a faith in God. Those people don't even know what faith means.
Amen.
Have no clue. When you hear in the church world the term faith, most of the time it's unbelief. It is not about faith at all. What people go, what faith are you? They're asking you, what religion are you part of? There's only one faith religion. The rest of them in God's eyes is unbelief and devilish. Everybody who belongs with them is going to hell. There is no faith in it. There's only, the Bible teaches one faith and that's it. There is only one. That's it. Christians. I've had Christians say, what faith are you? And I know with them, no telling what they believe. They never talk to dumb. What faith are you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's like faith is just, you know, I'm a Lutheran or I'm a this or I'm a that or I'm a Pentecostal. That's a faith? My God, in those groups there's unbelief. I don't know. See, people use those terms because they don't know what the Bible really teaches. And it's a shame. I'll tell you, sometimes I see Christians going through things, it breaks my heart. Because they can't get out of it because of the way they believe. And you can't talk to them about
Amen.
It. Because they are so transfixed in their little circle of believing that just you can't get them out of that place. This is the way we believe. What's oh sure, I believe the Bible and you tell them what it says. That ain't what we believe. Well, you said you believed the Bible. Well, that one was for the Jews, or this one was for this guy. And yes, God was talking to Paul when he said that. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, this book has my name written all over it.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, this is God's love letter to Ed.
Amen.
It's telling His glory and His truth and what I am. And what He has made me to be.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I can't put your name in this book. You're going to have to do it.
Amen.
And let's start that out today. Amen. Get your name in the book.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is with me. See, I did something that Kenneth Hagin said many years ago and I picked it up. If the Bible says it, I believe it and that's it.
Amen.
I don't need a discussion.
Amen.
I don't need to go find somebody else to tell me. If I see it, I believe it.
Amen.
If it's hard for me to swallow, I'll swallow it.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. This is truth.
Amen.
And I'm going to follow the truth. And I'll tell you, that served me well. I never struggle about believing the Word of God. It's true. I'll just have to come in line with it. I just have to bring my flesh under. I just have to do whatever it is. This is what we're going to have to do. And I'm going to tell you what, it's easy doing it that way. The struggle is keep trying to find a way to get around it. And you're 10 years down the road and you've just been playing that game and you've done nothing but play that game and you play that game and you know what? It leads you to this. You're just a worn out Christian. You've done circled that mountain 47 times and it's over and you got yourself and you and the rest of the children of Israel are going to die in the desert. That's what it comes to. I ain't dying in the desert.
Amen.
I've done cross the river.
Hallelujah.
I'd rather die in the battle than go over there in the desert
Amen.
And die.
Amen.
I'd rather be over here in this place.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So many Christians, they're just dying. They're dead in the desert. That's what they are. They're dying without a battle. They're just dying out there. They're just out there thirsting to death. They're out there starving to death. I'm on, hallelujah, I'm in the good fight of faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm a soldier. Are you a soldier?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We're taking land.
Not,
we don't give it up. We just take it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Israel was promised the land from the whole way to the Big Sea, which is the Mediterranean. The whole way over, God said to the Euphrates. And he didn't take it. God said that was the whole way. The whole way up to Syria, the whole way down, it calls the river of Egypt, which is down, it's not the Nile, but it's down there in from the Red Sea. There's a river flows down through there. He said, from there on up and over to the Euphrates, all that's yours. Israel took, 30% of it maybe. God said it all belongs to you. I'll tell you, I came into the land, and there's a lot I ain't taken yet, and there's surely a lot you hadn't taken yet.
Amen.
You shouldn't be happy.
That's right.
Till we take the land. We shouldn't be happy. Till we get a hold of all the blessing God got. Say, well, I got 20% of it. It's really not. Hey, 20% is nice with God. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you what. They always talk this, 30, 60, 100 fold. We ought to go for the 100 fold. I'm going to tell you, the 100 fold ain't money.
That's right.
It ain't money. Let's take all the land. Let's take all the blessing God has for the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want Jesus to come back. He's come back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's come back to the church, took the land. He ain't come back for the church. Hey, I got 10 acres over here. See, heaven's awful small to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. God's word's wonderful. It's powerful. I want you to get yourself in that today. The power of this word of God. Hallelujah. On your mouth. You speaking God's word is God talking. That's what. When you believe it in your heart and you release that with your mouth, that is God speaking concerning whatever it is. That's God's words. And it will go with the same power. Whatever you believe it for, whatever measure that you believe it is what it will produce for you.
Amen.
Think about that. Hallelujah. See, some people, well, I just don't have enough faith. Use what you got. I'd rather get 10% of God than no percent.
Amen.
See, some people walking their whole Christian life, they never get no percent of things. And, well, I just need more faith to this. Use your faith you got. If I can only get 2%, I'm going to take a 2%. I'm going to take what I can get.
Amen.
Take a hold of whatever it is. As far as you can believe. You grab it, hallelujah, and you have it. When Kenneth Hagin, the Lord spoke to him and told him, he said, a Christian, they can't believe for divine healing, they're going to the doctor. He said, tell them to believe for a quick recovery and I'll give it to them. God wants you to have something. He's trying to get people. And people, well, I can't believe for this and that. So they throw it all out the window and go off and go stupid. What can you believe for? Put it on your mouth what you can believe for. Not what you want, what you can believe for.
Amen. That's right.
There's things that I could say I want, but I'm not in position to pull that trigger. I need to bring myself where I can get in position to pull that trigger. So to me, just make a confession and just throw something out there, probably hurt myself more. Probably turning the gun on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Hurt your own faith.
Amen.
We don't fake faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with that you don't have faith, but it is wrong if you just keep continually not having faith. Because you can do something about it. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you today. I want to thank you, Lord God, that your word is so powerful. Your word is so wonderful. And Lord God, there's nothing greater than the fact that your word spoken brings faith to the hearer. And I want you to thank you, Lord God, for the word that has been spoken to us, that you speak words to us. I want to thank you when the word of God comes to us, faith comes to us every time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word always brings faith. I want to thank you for that. And Father, we're a people. Hallelujah. Lord God, that we're going to mix faith with what we've heard. Hallelujah. When we heard it, we're going to take that faith and mix it up with that word that we heard. And we're going to make those words our words. They're going to be our words, the words that we say, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, we're going to munch on those words just like you told Joshua. Meditate on my words day and night, hallelujah.
So what you can do it, hallelujah. Lord God, I want to thank you. We're going to meditate on the mixing. Lord God, we're going to mix this formula of believing in your word together. We're going to mix it and keep talking it and saying it. Hallelujah. And then we're going to explode and go do it. We're going to march around the walls. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to shout. Hallelujah. Not after they fall. We're going to shout and they're going to fall. Hallelujah. Those things in our life that have stood before us, they're going to fall in the name of Jesus Christ. Devils in this nation are going to fall in the name of Jesus Christ. The church will rise up. We'll rise up in its glory and cast the devil out. Hallelujah. Take authority over him in the name of Jesus Christ. We're rising up big and strong in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Full of faith in God. Hallelujah. No confidence in man. No confidence in the ability of man. But only the confidence that God gives through grace in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for it. Hallelujah. Father, the church is rising up. Rising up big. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. There's a remnant you have. They're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And you said if they would do that, you'd fill them. You're obligated. And I want to thank you. You love to be obligated. Hallelujah. You love the obligation. Hallelujah. Hungry people. Hungry for you. Hungry, Lord God. The seeker always finds. Hallelujah. The knocker always gets an answer. And I want to thank you. We're seeking and knocking and you're answering in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Wisdom flows to us freely in the name of Jesus. Understanding of the word comes easily to us in Jesus' name. We're not struggling to know. Hallelujah. Lord, we're just trying to keep up with all you're giving to us. Hallelujah. It's so wonderful. The word is coming. There's so much glory in it. There's so much understanding in it. And Lord God, you're just pouring it out on us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're not going to go under. We're going over. Hallelujah. We're the church. Hallelujah. We're redeemed from the curse. Therefore, we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We're blessed going out, coming in. However it may be, the blessing follows and overtakes us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because we're the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Devils bow at the name of Jesus. When we command him to go in Jesus' name, he flees in terror in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We dominate and we rule in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father God, that the good work that you started in us, you are bringing it to completion till the day Jesus Christ shows up and gets us out of here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I done prayed me happy. Glory to God. Man, there's an anointing.